can't be mad with them because they crucified him. We ought to be happy that they crucified him, but at the same time happy that he resurrected. When I think about it, he says, Pilate says, I want to give you a criminal. Would you take Barabbas, whose name means son of a father? Or will you take and crucify Jesus, who we understand is the son of the father? And they let Barabbas go free. But every morning when I wake up, I know what Barabbas is. I'm a son of the father. When I look in the mirror, people, you don't hear Barabbas no more after that. Barabbas was let go. When you look in the mirror, you say, there's Barabbas, the criminal who was set free, the criminal who got away, the one who should have died on the cross, but Jesus died in his place. I am that Barabbas. I got away. He died. Now I don't have to die because of what he's done. The man in the middle.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holding Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for
all I do. Father, our God, in the wonderful name of Jesus, now as we prepare to hear your word, we pray that you will take the text and unfold it for us, bring illumination and understanding, and more importantly, revelation, deep revelation, intimate revelation, a rhema word. And God would be ever so careful tonight to give you the praise and the glory, for you deserve all the honor. And we thank you, God, for guiding us and for guarding us, for walking with us and talking with us and leading us to the end of this year. God, you've been good to us. You've been good to us. Matter of fact, if the record would be clear tonight, the record would show that you've been better to us than we've ever been to ourselves. And so we just want to say thank you one more time. Thank you in the sanctuary. Thank you from the depths of our hearts. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for just being who you are. Now, Lord, again, we thank you for what you're going to do by way of your word and your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Get your Bibles, if you will, and remain standing. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 10. Acts, chapter 10. And there's much in this chapter that we want to deal with, so we're going to walk through it as the Spirit gives us guidance. Acts chapter 10, verse 9 says, "On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But Peter said, 'Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean.' And the voice spake unto him again the second time, 'What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common.' This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven." Verse 34 says, "Then Peter openeth his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.'" May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. For just a little while tonight, I want to speak from the subject, challenged to change. Challenged to change. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, God's word challenges us to change." Give him a hand of praise if you believe it. Though this story is no uncommon story to the believer, and many of us who are familiar with the book of Acts and the Acts, more importantly, of the Holy Spirit through the people of God in the infancy of the church, we'll find that this story gives many, many meanings to the richness of God being no respecter of persons. How in this story, Peter, who was the lead disciple in the group that Jesus led while he walked here on planet Earth, is now in the focal point of this story, one who has had his mind made up about the ministry of the Master and about those things that Jesus Christ would have him to continue to do and the church. It was the same Peter who, when Jesus had just asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And the brothers started speaking among themselves. Some say Jeremiah, some say Elijah, and some say one of the other prophets. And then God gave the revelation of who Jesus was to Peter. And he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And when he had spoken those words, Jesus called him out by name and said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And several verses later, Jesus is talking about the cross and the Calvary experience, and he's letting them know that he's got to go that way, that he has to stop by Calvary for the good of mankind. Peter, the same one that God used a few moments earlier, is now being used by Satan. For Peter says, by way of Satan's spirit, "Be that far from you, Lord. No, this thing will not happen to you." He rebuked Jesus, the Bible says, and Jesus turned around and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." It was the same Peter who led the group, and many times who led the forefront of faith in Jesus Christ and the things of God. When there was a storm on the sea and Jesus had left him earlier and he came walking on the water, nobody in the ship asked the question that Peter asked. And he asked Jesus, could he come to him? And Jesus told him to come. he got to that point and place where he had focused on what the Lord wanted, and he wanted to be what the Lord wanted, and greatly did the Lord use him. Even now, when he was getting ready to die, he told everybody what was going to happen. Peter said, "Lord, I don't care what they do, I won't turn my back on you." This Peter, I'm trying to help you to see how he's focusing on trying to get the job done. And even though he was wrong, his heart was right. But because even when it got to the garden, even though Jesus had already told him he was going to deny him, when he got to the garden, he tried to defend himself, showing Jesus, "I'm going to stand by you and I'm going to stick with you." And when that point came where Jesus told him, "Just watch with me." And see, a whole lot of us don't understand that God wants us to obey him rather than to make sacrifices for him. All he told Peter to do was to watch while he go and pray yonder. That meant stay awake, stay vigilant, be watchful. He couldn't do that. He fell asleep three times. Jesus come back, tells him to take his rest, but then he wakes him up and he's in a fury, and because all of these men around and they're going to take Jesus, and he pulls out his sword and he cuts off the priest's ear, servant's ear off, and Jesus tell him, "Man, put the sword up." And I suggest so many times the reason he told him put the sword up was because he couldn't use it. And a whole lot of y'all are trying to use weapons you can't even use. Y'all gonna catch that on your way home somewhere. The Lord's saying if you live by the sword, you're gonna die by the sword. He gave him a weapon far more powerful than anything that he had ever known before, but he didn't know how to use it. And it was simple obedience, because obedience brings blessings. And so this is the same Peter that was denying the Lord three times. The cock crew, he knew it was real. This is the same Peter later who three people made him afraid to own Jesus. And after he had received the Holy Ghost, this same Peter preached right outside the walls of Jerusalem and 3,000 people came. The same Peter is now, again, 8 years later, moving in the programmatic thrust of Jesus Christ. And the story goes, if you get a little chance to read it, you'll read it at home and find out that there is an interesting story here that I want you to take time out and let the Spirit deal with you in your reading. But verse 1 talks about this man called Cornelius. He was a righteous man, a devout man, verse 2 says, and he feared God. He was a man who honored the Lord Jesus Christ with his life and with his substance. Yes. And he wanted to know the Lord greater, but you've got to realize he was a Gentile, he wasn't a Jew. He was a member of what they called the God-fearers, and they were people who believed in the Lord God, but they were not totally converted to the whole religion of Judaism. And yet he wanted to know God more personally and more intimately than he had ever known. The Bible says in verse 3, he saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius, verse 4, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up to me for a memorial before God." Now he says, "I've seen your works and I've heard your prayers." Now I want you to know, when your talk and your walk harmonizes, God responds. Listen to what the Bible says. "And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." Now, obviously in his prayer, he's telling God, "God, I want to know you better. I want to get closer to you. I want to be more intimate with you. I want to know you better." And so in his prayer, God tells him, "I have heard your prayers and I've seen your good works, and I'm going to send somebody to you whose surname is Simon Peter. He's at Simon's house, who's a tanner." Now don't get the Simons mixed up. And he's going to tell you what you ought to do. Now, why doesn't God just speak to him and tell him? Because the Bible says that God has preachers that he has called to speak his word for him. And the Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher. So God wanted him to hear the gospel preached, because it is in the preaching of the gospel and the accepting of the gospel and the confessing of Jesus' name through that same gospel that God works the work of salvation. So listen to what the Bible says. Bible says, verse 7, and the angel, when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. This is one of the main servants who was his personal servant. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Verse 9, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Now listen at this. Peter goes up to pray about 12 o'clock. Now this is around lunchtime. They're fixing lunch downstairs. He's praying upstairs, but they take too long in the fixing of the lunch, and he falls into a trance. Now, while he's in a trance, look at what God makes him dream about. Food. Somebody said you usually dream about what's on your mind. I don't know nothing about all of that, but the Bible says he dreamed about some food. Listen at this. Verse 10 says, again, verse 11 rather, and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, and as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. Verse 13 says, and there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Now look at what's in this vessel, in this sheet knitted at four corners. Every, listen at this, Bible says, beast of four-footed, wild beasts, creeping things, and fowls of the air. Now, all of these went against the traditional Jewish assignments of dietary preferences for God's people. In other words, it went against what was lawful for them to eat. Now, this is strange, because you've got to realize now, Peter is not only born again, he's filled with the Holy Ghost, and he obeys the law, and so under this still, he's functioning under the law and the commandments yet of the Old Testament. Now, while God reveals all of this, the Bible says, and there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Verse 14 says, but Peter said, not so, Lord. He recognized the voice, and he knew it was the Lord's voice, and he says, for I have never eaten anything that is, listen, common or unclean. Common, defiled and forbidden by the law, or unclean. All of these things fit within that category. Verse 15 says, and the voice spake unto him again the second time, and it says, what God had cleansed, that call not thou common. Now, those things that were called common, the people who were considered heathens ate those things. Common things were not allowed for God's special people, God's privileged people, God's people to eat. So he considered himself an honored member of the royal family, and they didn't eat common cuisine. So listen at this now. He didn't realize who the chef was when he talked about what he didn't eat. And I got news for you. A whole lot of you all talk about what you don't eat, but you don't know what folk put in some food. Some of our parents have fooled us a many times, made us think we were eating one thing and we were eating something else. Some restaurants you go to, they say it's chicken, but you can't identify some of the parts on it. Some of y'all talking about y'all won't eat some of my favorite cuisine Chinese food because you don't know what's in it. Well, I could say a whole lot of other things, but I'm going to leave that alone. But if they make it taste good, it's all right. Listen at this now, because I want you to see the message. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, now who said to him? The same Spirit, listen at this now, spoke to him, and the Bible said, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Now, I'm trying to help you to understand how God works. Be leery about when folk tell you God said, God sent me, God called me, God told me, and did not pre-warn you or give you some knowledge of what was coming so you could confirm it was from God. Now listen at this. Cornelius received a vision that God told him what to do. He told him what to do. Peter went up on the rooftop. He started praying. God showed him something. Then the Spirit comes, speaks to him, and says, listen, I have three men. Now, if four men would have shown up, he would have known that wasn't from God. If two would have shown up, he would have known that wasn't from God. But the Spirit said, three men. And so when they came knocking, he said, don't doubt anything. I know you don't understand why they're coming for you. You just go with them because I have sent them. Now, this is one of the reasons why saints need to understand how God operates, because a whole lot of us have been fooled and hoodwinked because someone sounded spiritual, looked spiritual, or said God said it. And just because they say God said it don't mean God said it. There ought to be some way you can confirm if God said it, because who is to say that God said it or not? If God doesn't work in an organized manner whereby we can understand how he operates. Now, he doesn't just operate in this sense, but this is one of the senses that we can see him operating in, so that we can know and understand what it is he will have for us to do. Bible says again, verse 20, arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God and of a good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Now God had set a sermon up for Peter that Peter didn't even know, had set an engagement for him to preach. And they sent three men to pick him up and bring him to the place which was the man's house. And incidentally, in the early church, the preaching that was done in houses. They didn't have sanctuaries erected in places like this. The services were done in people's houses who were believers. Bible says again, verse 23, then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Verse 24, and the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. Peter would not let him reverence him, though he respected him to that point where he would worship him. That's a word for those who God uses. When folk try to give you the reverence and the respect that belongs to God, you ought to have sense enough to know that it's one thing to respect me, it's another thing to reverence me the way you reverence God. I am not worthy to be reverenced in the sense of worshiping, but certainly respected as the man of God. He picks him up, he said, wait a minute, man, I'm not the one you worship. I'm just the one who talked to you about the one who is to be worshiped. And he stands him on his feet. And look at what he says. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. Now, these people wanted to know the Lord. They wanted to hear a word from the Lord. And I got news for you. There's nothing like a word God speaks to a people who is already patiently waiting for a word from the Lord. When your ears are open and your heart is fixed and your mind is set on what does God have to say to me, God will speak so clearly and deeply to your heart that you cannot err. Listen to what the Bible says. Again, verse 28, and he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God had showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Now God showed him in the vision, and he interpreted the vision for him, that I really wasn't talking about no food. I really wasn't talking about no animals and no fowls. I was talking about all sorts of different men from all sorts of different nationalities, backgrounds, and all places. And what I was showing you was that I, when I brought it down, was the same God who created everything down. When I lifted it back up, I was showing to you that I am no favorite God of any one certain people. Everything that was in that sheep, I created it. And I brought it back up to me, and the interpretation was that I'm going to show you all sorts of men, various men from various backgrounds, religions, and denominations. And I want you to preach Jesus. Listen at this now. He says, therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. In other words, you've got a captured, captive audience. Tell us what the Lord wants. And then the Bible says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. First thing I want you to know is that God challenged Peter to do first thing first, and that is to look not on him, but on God as the creator who's able to do whatever he sovereignly chooses to do, even if it's what you're not used of him doing. So the first point I want you to look at is that God challenged him to change his mind. To change his mind. What was his mindset? His mindset was, I obey the law. God had given him a personal invitation to take it up to another level. Now he showed him that he was greater than the law because he was the giver of the law. And if he was sovereign in that he was the potentate of the law, at any time he could supersede the law or suspend the law. So he was showing him that because I am God, if I choose to change or suspend the law, I can do it as I will. He changed his thinking and elevated his thinking and broadened his thinking so that he would understand God just don't work one certain way and that's it. Too many of us need to change our minds the way we see God operating, because God don't just work one way all time. God just don't work in some certain people all the time. If you have the faith to believe God, to trust God, to understand how God operates, God can do some different things. While they may be new to you, they're still old to God. And when he chooses to work in you, it's because you've made yourself a willing vessel. So the first thing God deals with him and challenges him to change your mind, man. I know what you've been used to. I know what you're traditionally and customarily used to, but I want to do something different now. So not only does he challenge him to change his mind, but later you're going to see he challenges him to change his method. See, a whole lot of us, God can't use us because we think God's got to use us this way or no way. That's why I never, ever, ever get to the point where I think because somebody's doing it different, God ain't in that. I wouldn't be so narrow-minded as to think that God couldn't do it another way, because first I begin to realize that everybody ain't the same. And there are certain things that certain people require in order to be reached, and God has to call a special people or a special preacher to reach special people. Can't everybody go in the prison and preach Jesus? Can't everybody go on the streets and talk to drug addicts? Can't everybody go into the schoolhouses and go into different places and into certain churches on certain levels and in certain arenas and in certain communities? That's why God's got preacher for every people. And what might seem foolish to me may be just what God needs to reach some folk who are foolish. When Isaiah saw the call for a need for somebody, he said, God, listen, I want to tell you, I've got some unclean lips. And while I'm talking about it, I live and dwell with some people who have some unclean lips. Now that's one of the reasons why God will take one like you, wash him up, clean him, and send him back to you so you can identify with him. Yeah. That's why God can't use some of us to go into places where the irrepute are, because we're too holier than thou. We go where Jesus won't go. No. Jesus went some places we won't go. And that's why they called him the friend of sinners. And that's why they called him a blasphemer, because he ate with the common people, because he went in places that folk in the temple were too self-righteous to go. That's why we've got to support mission, because some of us ain't getting on no ship going over no Africa. Y'all can sit there and act funny if you want to, but you know it. You ain't gone in certain places, in certain lands where you can't speak the language and where they don't have a Hilton hotel or a four-star hotel or something. No, but there are some people, God's prepared their heart. They will go in the bushes and they will go in these places where we will not go and take the gospel. Listen at this, because I want you to see this. Because we've got to change our minds and change our methods.